Okay, so what was the inspiration for this production?
Well, it had actually been in the back of my mind for a very long time. It's my personal story. It tells how I got into belly dance, which was to recover from a serious abdominal and back injury. I had major surgery and then herniated 3 discs in my lower back. So it was at first something I did to heal from that, and I found that it changed me, that the dance itself, it operates at a very visceral level and began changing my breath. It began changing the way I held my body. It changed the way I felt about my body. It changed my perceptions of beauty. And so, I mean, that first story is very vivid, you know, the going through the surgery and what happened and how I recovered. So that was always something that, you know, when people would ask me, gee, how'd you get into belly dance? And I would just tell the story. So that's kind of been in the background for 10 years, being told anecdotally. But I always felt that there was something more to it, that there was something more, that there were larger lessons that were constantly being learned as I was progressing in my development through this dance and through as an artist as well, because, you see, I had started in stand-up comedy and I transitioned into theater and did improv and did many performance arts, but nothing resonated. And part of the reason that it wasn't resonating was that I was not resonating as a creative person because those channels weren't open. And so what I found was that this dance opened up those channels. So when I revisited this information, when I revisited those performance arts with this new story and with the openness in my body and as a creative person, it sort of just flowed. And so it's something that I wanted to tell. And it's also something I wanted to share about this dance and about why it's so important to us and the way it's misperceived. You know, it's perceived as a sexual dance, and that's really not the history of it. And I talk a lot about that in the show. So it's been important for me to the community to share what the message of the dance really is. And it's been important for me to tell the story in a compelling and engaging and funny way.
So how does one heal from major back injuries with belly dancing? How is that possible?
Well, the dance activates many deep core muscles, especially the technique that I use. I am mostly focused on Egyptian dance, which focuses on strong core, intricate core movements that, you know, that where you use your psoas, you use very, very deep muscles. And I began feeling and activating muscles that I had never even had conceived existed in my body, that the whole spaciousness opens up in your body. And when those muscles get activated, they strengthen. First of all, they massage the viscera, and this is something that my doctor, I had a lot of scar tissue, mm-hmm. and my doctor was just blown away with at how much the dance had just dissolved the internal scarring. I mean, I had external scars, of course, as well. But the internal scarring was very bad and it was very painful. And doing this dance, because you're constantly squeezing and kneading, and there are percussive and vibrational movements, you do something called a shimmy, where you basically send a vibration through your whole body, and that breaks up those kinds of adhesions. So slowly but slowly and surely, the pain began to go away, and I do back bends now. Mm-hmm. In my dancing, I'll go right down on the floor and, you know, I'm down there with a flat back doing the back bend with, you know, a candelabra on my head. So I, you know, with a sword on my head or with a cane on my head. You know, there are all kinds of things that I can get. You know, no spring chicken.
Wow.
Let me tell you, I have, you know, I have, I began, well, not to put too fine a point on it, I began doing stand-up comedy when I was 19 years old. That is more than 2 decades ago, so you can do the math. So, you know, and that's another thing. Is there are so many misperceptions about belly dance that, you know, that is something that when I first came to it, I was like, well, I could never do this. And it's so hard. I mean, it just seemed so hard when I saw the things that my teacher was doing, these layered movements where she'll be shimmying and then she would undulate on top of it and then she would add on a chest circle and then she'd add on snake arms and then she's moving around the floor and she's doing all this multitasking with her body at the same time, moving all around the stage. And I just, you know, like I say in the show, I just figured you had to be a freak of nature to do that. And I was too old anyway. And so when I first started, I quit. But something called me back to it, and I found that not only could I do it, but that it wanted to be done in my body. Which is a strange thing to say, but that's one of the realizations. It's one of the realizations that I came to in the show, that our bodies kind of have some things that they have their own, I don't like to say the word agendas, but they have their own needs. It's like to be able to view one's, to not identify with the body, to be able to say, well, gee, what does the body want? And let me relate to it as though it were a separate being and ask it what it wants and listen to it. And that's also a path to creativity. When you're creating a work, you know, there's generally three things that you're contending with when you're creating something. There's your idea of what you want it to be. And if you're working with other people, there's their idea. And then there's the thing that it wants to be. And it's the responsibility of the artist involved to pay attention to what is coming up, what is evolving, that may end up being completely different from anybody's idea, but it will be something wonderful and something resonant with an audience, and it will be something that is, in my experience, the most fulfilling way to create, is to get the ball rolling and then follow it and develop it and listen to it and urge it along its own path. And so that's the kind of relationship that I've developed with my body as a dancer and as a performer, and I've come to it through this dance.
Considering that, how do you want this production to resonate with the people in the audience? How do you want them to leave and respond to it?
Well, I want them to leave shimmying and dancing out the door, which many of them do. Which many of them do, because at the end of the show, here I've shown them all this dancing, and I basically talk and dance through the whole thing, which is a crazy thing to do, and yet I am fully compelled to do it. It's like, you know, you wind me up and I can't stop. You know, it catches me up in it, and I just, you know, it's like I roll up on the roller coaster and I just head right down and I take the audience with me. And I get them, as many as are daring, to come up on stage and to, you know, do the moves that they have watched all night. And a shocking amount of people, men, women, children, they all come up on stage. And they are doing these moves. They're isolating their hips. They are trying to do shimmies and snake arms. And some even will break dance, because break dance is connected to African dance. And African dance is connected to Middle Eastern dance, because it's all about isolation. It's all about segmenting the body, moving parts of the body. It's about dancing with the core of the body as opposed to with the feet and hands, which is the kind of dance that we're used to here in the West. So I really want them to, you know, feel differently about their bodies, feel differently about what is beautiful. You know, I am not your typical beautiful woman. I am not society's idea. You know, I'm very tall. I've got a big butt, you know, I don't, you know, I've no plastic surgery, you know, I don't believe in any of that stuff. What I hope to give the audience is an experience of beauty, that what they see in me is something they can realize in themselves, that I'm creating beauty through my movement and through my words and through my power as a performer, and through my gift, through just giving whatever it is that I have to give, or just sending it right out there with the best technique and craft that I can. But that, you know, when I say an experience of beauty, what I'm talking about is, you know, when you see something that just resonates and you go, oh, and you're arrested for that moment, as opposed to, oh, there's the Barbie doll that looks like what I think I'm told I should find beautiful, which unfortunately is, you know, what we experience as beauty, unfortunately, in this culture. But I think that's slowly changing. So I want people to have that even slight change in their awareness of themselves, you know. One woman who was kind of heavy, she came up to me and she was just crying. She just cried as she danced. And she looked at me and she said, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. And I said, you are so beautiful. And she was, you know, mm-hmm. that she could not even see it because she didn't fit into some idea of what she should be. But when she moved and when she got into her body and when she was smiling and she was laughing and finally at the end of it and just being herself, she was absolutely arresting. So to have that experience and to walk away with that and to have a different understanding of this dance, that is part of my little mission here to serve this dance community, because it's so misunderstood, because it's been so sexualized. And it's degraded the art form, where unfortunately there are dancers who have very little technique, but they have nice little bodies and they strap on a sequined bikini with a skirt. And they'll get hired, granted in pretty, low-paying gigs, but still there are people who are going to see them and they're going to think that that's belly dancing. It's just, wiggling around sexually and lewdly, and then it is so not that. And when you see a dancer who has a strong honed technique and presence and power on stage, there is just no comparison. And once an audience sees that, they don't ever want to. It's like it's an insult to them to be in a venue that is going to hire a dancer who can't bring that. And the dancer who has the technique and the real costume. The real costumes cost upwards of $500, by the way. So when you have a crafted technique, presence, costume, real poise and elegance, audiences, they're not stupid. When they see that, they recognize it, and then they want more. And that's what I want. I want people to go to their Middle Eastern restaurant or their any restaurant that has any kind of entertainment and say, hey, bring in a dancer. Bring in someone who really knows what she or he is doing, because we want this kind of art, because it resonates with us and we love it.